This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Just because.
Well, just for sort of like, you know, legal reasons.
I was going to say, some people have started recording their interviews to make sure they're not misquoted.
Really?
Yes.
I tend to thrive on being misquoted. It's generally the only way I sound good.
I'm curious if you were one of the. You've been involved in some franchises before, so this obviously could be a franchise. Mm-hmm. I believe they were going to be hoping this is a franchise. Were you a little bit nervous to sign on, or were you more excited to sign on because you've been part of these other successful ones?
I think I'm nervous to sign on to any job. I think, you know, when I was first approached about this, I wasn't made aware of the fact that they were possibly thinking about making it into a franchise. So for me, it was, this is a one film deal. If it goes for another two, if it goes for another three, however many, that's great. But right now, I'm focusing on this one and doing this one and getting that, you know, getting that as good as I can make it rather than focusing on it as a brand. I think if you start to sort of make it into a brand, then you end up believing hype, I suppose.
Are you drawn to these fantasy roles specifically?
Maybe it's just the way I look. Am I drawn to them? I think I'm always drawn to a good story. I'm always drawn to something, you know, and I think that nowadays I think we'd be foolish or we'd be ignorant to believe that something that a studio has to make is something that they know is going to, you know, be successful or make money. And The Mortal Instruments is a great series of books that taps into a genre that is very popular, you know, and I think that's, a lot of studios are making those kind of movies now. So is it that there's options? Yeah, of course there's options, but this is a great story ultimately. That's what I'm interested in, I think.
How did you physically prepare for this role, and what's the deal with the tattoos?
These are all real and terribly made. No, this, I physically have trained really hard for it. It was sort of, I started training 3 months before we started shooting. And I sort of toyed around with different physical forms, and in the end of it, what I wanted was to get to a point whereby we've seen this sort of big jock kind of character before, and I didn't want that, and I didn't really think that was something that I believe, particularly, you know, with my younger cousins or whatever, being girls, that they're really into, you know, the 15-year-old market. Maybe, I don't know if that's as sexy as it once was anymore. I think now it's more about the rock star, or like the girls that I, you know, the 15-year-old girls that I know and what they're into are like skinny motherfuckers from front, you know, front men of bands, and you know, like the sort of lost soul and all that kind of shit. And I love that, and I think that's really cool. So ultimately, the end of that, what I wanted to do is I build up the muscle, and then I just trimmed everything down and just got super lean, and like, it was really, really tough, really, really hardcore, and I did a lot of stunt training, a lot of fight training. I, you know, physically kind of ruined myself, but in the best way possible. Like, it wasn't like I was doing stupid shit because I was doing stuff that was good for me. But if you wake up at 5 o'clock every morning and do 3 hours of training, then you have half an hour off to eat, and then you go back and do another 2 hours, and then half an hour to go and sleep and maybe have a shower if you're lucky, and then, you know, and then go through lines or learn the piano, and I learned the piano for this and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, that, yes, it's exhausting, but it's part of what I enjoy about what we do.
And the tattoos?
These are runes. These are runes. So each tattoo has a specific power, I suppose. I'm covered in them, and I have real tattoos as well, so I have to get my real tattoos have to get covered, and then runes get put on top of my real tattoos. I think I should just get runes tattooed all over me, then at least I wouldn't have to spend 3 hours in the makeup track. I could just spend 15 hours in a tattoo parlor and then be done with it for the rest of my life.
A lot of people we talked to today, including Lily, talked about this connection that you guys had right from the first the audition. You know, I'm just curious if you felt that when you walked away.
Absolutely. I think I walked into that audition, I walked into that camera test knowing that I wasn't necessarily the person that they wanted to go for. That's a hard room to walk into. That's fucking tough. So I had to go in there and I had to be able to A, prove myself, and B, there had to be something more. There had to be this, like, and it was funny because it sort of happened without even looking for it. Like, Lily and I just automatically just, like, clicked, and these two characters came out in us, and it was like we'd known each other for like years. It was so weird, so weird. And we watched back the camera tests, like, gosh, maybe when we first started shooting, so maybe like, you know, 3 months ago. I mean, both look, I mean, I was bloated, I was fat, like, I'm surprised anybody wanted me to walk into that room. And then, like, you know, we were just both in completely different places, but this connection was there, and that's an amazing, amazing thing to have. And I think that's great for the movie. And, like, and I think above anything, what I was really drawn to in this story is ultimately this love story. And I think that's with a lot of things that we see in popular culture nowadays, and things that have succeeded throughout time, I think that's what's happened, you know, like Romeo and Juliet, and then, you know, all these other movies, not to mention one, but Twilight, you know, that was so successful because people invested in the love between these two characters, and that's what I want them to have with this. Yes, there's a lot of other shit that's going on, but that's what I want to bring to it.
This series is part of this kind of new trend where you have the female who's front and center,
yeah,
as opposed to the, you know, sort of male hero taking the lead. I mean, do you appreciate that dynamic? And how?
Do I appreciate it? Well, when I go to the cinema, I'm like, girl, yeah. Now we're talking. I think it's great. I mean, you know, the heroine is a central figure, and I think, you know, I for one am bored. I think James Bond should be played by a woman. There you go. You know, that's a difficult question to answer, because for me to sit here and go, I think it's great, makes me sound like a twat, because why wouldn't it be great? So it's interesting that can happen now, because that 25 years ago that would not have happened, you know, and that's, I think that's a real step forward for cinema, and I think that's a real step forward for storytelling. For storytelling for, you know, a popular mass rather than people who read books, which is a less popular mass.
People may have preconceptions of your character from, sure, reading the books. How do you make him your own?
How do I make him my own? I suppose with any character that you play, you always bring something of your personal experience to it. You always bring people that you know or that you've met, and sort of, this is what I do, maybe not everyone else does, I haven't really spoken to anyone else about it, people that you know or that you've met that have affected you in certain ways, you bring into it. I think for me, the story for Jace is all about, you know, he holds himself up all the time. He's, you know, he's an arsehole, he's a class A wanker, and there's nothing more to be said about it. And then he opens himself up to Clary, and he gives himself to her, and then he ultimately ends up feeling betrayed by that, so holds himself up again, and then at the end we just see him break, and I love that. So I want to play him super strong, and I've been playing him like super like just stoic, and then when we see him break, I really want it to be for the audience to be like, oh wow, he's actually a real person, like he's not just like a robot. Maybe that won't work in my favour. Maybe people will be like,
very wooden performance up until the end. I'm fine, whatever. That's what I was going for.
In the book, Jace has so many of the best like one-liners, and they said that as the script has gone through all these changes, they've put that more in. Are you glad you get to do that? Play something a little bit lighter, too?
Yeah, but like, there's light moments, but they're said so flat and so deadpan. That's what makes them funny, because, you know, you could be like, God, aren't I a funny, and it's not, and that's not amusing, because no one likes that guy, really. People, you know, people like the guy that just would say something off the cuff, and I suppose that is fun, and the more that we sort of dive into it, the more things we can just put in, and you can say a lot with like a look. Sounded like Ryan Gosling, like Drive. Yeah, I just won't say anything, I'll just look. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun to be able to explore those moments of comedy within quite a dark world. Yeah, for sure. I'm enjoying that.
Talk a little bit about how much are you looking on, like, online message boards, looking at what fans are saying, sort of look, because obviously it's based on, there's a lot of fans of this material.
Yeah. I think at the beginning, I'm not going to lie to you, I think at the beginning I was very much aware of what was being said, whether it be positive or negative, predominantly negative. That's something that you've got to deal with. I think, you know, I have to appreciate the fact that this is a series of books that people have already encountered, and people, like you say, will already have preconceived, you know, notions of who the characters are and what the person should bring. I have to respect that. I have to be able to bring some of those qualities that they believe the character to have to the movie whilst also sticking true to how I feel. Did it affect me? Fuck yeah, of course it affected me. Like, I think, you know, I'd be cold, heartless, self-absorbed person to have it not affect me. But it made me want to prove to these people that say that I can't do this that I really can. If I can win over 50% of the people that said that I couldn't do this or that didn't want me to do this, then I feel like I've done my job.
I'm going to ask you the most important question of the day.
Okay.
Why two iPhones?
Production iPhone and personal iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah. Plus, one has all my naked pictures on it and the other one doesn't. It's anyone's guess which one's the production iPhone.
As a demon hunter, what's your favorite confrontation with a creature in this movie?
Right, not just in general.
No, yeah.
My favorite confrontation with the creature. There's a creature that we encounter called Abaddon, who is Madame Dorothea's sort of alter ego. And in the movie, she, without a spoiler, she's very strong. So everything, just nothing works, and it's just a beat down. It's just a complete, yeah. It's very cool. It's very funny. It's very cool because it's something that you don't really see often, like that sort of reality. And that's what I think Harold and Lily and you know, Kevin and Jemima and Robbie brought to it is, hopefully myself as well, is like a reality. And I love those moments. I love those moments where we're like, oh, we're in the Shadowhunter world. Everything's weird. We have runes and there's demons. And then actually you go, oh, this could actually be real, because here we are in the middle of Brooklyn, you know, fighting a 7-foot gorilla-esque. This demon doesn't actually exist. I'm just trying to sell you down the river. I love that. I love that.
Can you wrap up with one more question, please?
If I'm not mistaken, I saw you doing a flip. We saw some of the, like a sizzle reel.
Mm.
We saw you doing a flip.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about filming the action sequences, set pieces, and, you know, what kind of a challenge is it to do that in addition, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. In addition to having to perform as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
Harold, when I first got here, when Lily and I first got here before we started shooting, we were doing a lot of pre-production stuff and a lot of fight training and just warming up to it, you know, just to be here whilst everything's going on. It's nice to have those moments. So we were doing a lot of stunt stuff, and Harold was like, I don't want any wires. I don't want any wire work. I don't want that. You know, I want it to be very much. If you're going to do a flip, you need to be able to do a flip. If you're going to do a jump, you need to be able to do a jump. Like, all this kind of stuff. So, for me, learning how to do, like, flips onto tables off a mini tramp was really exciting, because that's me doing that in the movie. And that's nobody else. That's not a face replacement. There's no wires there. That's me jumping from the floor onto a table, doing a flip in midair. Which, I know it sounds really stupid, but like the 14-year-old boy inside me goes, that's fucking awesome. That's so cool. Like, and I really appreciate those moments. And I appreciate the fact that Harold's been able to do that. And yeah, some stuff isn't going to look as, you know, necessarily as slick as something like, I don't know, Crouching Tiger would look when there was a lot of wire work, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But we know that it's real, and I know that it's real, and I love the fact that we're able to do that. And it is very physically demanding, yeah, but there's a big payoff at the end, a big, big payoff, hopefully. Hopefully. It's nice to be able to go to bed at night and go, I tried my hardest. Oh, well, we'll see, you know. So.
Thank you so much,
guys. Have a great rest.